Today is Shushan Purim. In Esther chapter 9, it describes how the Jewish people living in the kingdom defended their lives on the 13th day of the month of Adar. I'm picking up in chapter 9, verse 17. On the 13th day of the month of Adar, and on the 14th day of the same, they rested and made it a day of feasting and gladness. But the Jews that were in Shushan assembled together on the 13th thereof, and the 14th day thereof, and on the 15th day of the same, they rested and made it a day of feasting and gladness. Therefore, the Jews of the villages that dwelt in the unwalled towns made the 14th day of the month of Adar a day of gladness and feasting, and a good day and of sending portions one to another. There's a tradition that in Purim, we wear costumes. We hide our identity just as Esther hid her Jewish identity. The name Esther is related to Esther in Deuteronomy 31, the word where the Almighty says he's hidden. In Matthew chapter 10, Yeshua said, "There's nothing covered that shall not be revealed. There's nothing hid that shall not be known." And this shouldn't be a surprise. Remember the word Megillah, the scroll, is related to the word Gala, which means revealed or uncovered. Now, not everyone puts on a costume at Purim, but often we wear a mask throughout our whole lives. In Esther chapter 4, the king has unknowingly given Haman the right to kill all the Jewish people. Mordecai and Esther have gone back and forth sending messages to each other. And finally, we're going to pick up in Esther chapter 4, verse 13. Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not within thyself that thou shalt escape with thy father's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether hold thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knows whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this." Esther has been hiding her identity for years. But the time for revealing has arrived. She's been wearing this mask for years. We're going to look at two different aspects, two different perspectives or viewpoints on life. We can base our understanding of life on our situation and position, or we can base it on our identity and destiny. Now, both of these viewpoints are true. They're both important, and neither should be ignored. Sometimes we focus only on one of these outlooks and we lose sight of the other. And this gives us a very limited view of reality. What is Esther's situation? What is her position? She is the queen of Persia. In this passage, Mordecai referred to her situation or position. He mentions that she's in the king's house. He mentions the kingdom. But what is her identity? What is her destiny? Mordecai refers to her people, the Jews. He mentions that deliverance will come to the Jews, whether she partakes of it or not. If she doesn't amass now, her destiny's in trouble. When we look at ourselves, we must consider both our situation and our identity. Both aspects are true, both are important. One of the biggest differences between our situation and position and our identity and destination is that the situation, the position, changes frequently. And sometimes quite dramatically. Our identity, our destiny, is much more stable. If you drive from one corner of the United States to another, the trip could take a week. You may stop and visit friends or relatives or visit sites. Sometimes we get anxious or impatient. Are we there yet? Sometimes the trip is more meaningful than the destination, but both are part of reality. Life is made up of journeys and destinations. We all watched the wonderful Purim play that our children put on a few days ago. It was beautiful. We all enjoyed, in the past, encouraging movies. But if we're just an observer, we enjoy the play or the movie, but we don't realize the steps of preparation, the hours of rehearsal, the expense that went into making it. We don't realize the whole reality, only the final product, the destination. We don't consider that all the effort, all the individual situations that made the final result, the destination, great. In fact, each step made the final destination possible. Situations can can change drastically. Esther lived in freedom when she was in Israel. She became a prisoner of war. She became queen of the Persian Empire. We're going to look at her situation through the life of someone else. We're going to turn to Genesis chapter 37, and we're going to consider Joseph. Genesis chapter 37, verse 3. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. Who is Joseph? He's a beloved son. But we see later in the chapter, he was sold as a slave. In fact, in Psalm 105, it says that when they took him, they bound his feet with chains and hurt him. In chapter 40, he becomes a prisoner and he's begging for help. We're going to turn to chapter 41 now, Genesis chapter 41, and we're going to read verse 40 through 44. This is Pharaoh speaking to Joseph after he interpreted the dreams. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto my word shall all the people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, See, I have made thee over all the land of Egypt. Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put on Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. He made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, Bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh. Without thee shall no man lift up his hand or his foot in all the land of Egypt. Sounds a little bit like Haman's position. Joseph had his feet hurt with shackles, with chains, and now he has a chain of gold around his neck. He had his coat of many colors taken from him, but now he's given arrayed in fine vestures of the king, of fine linen. We read in verse 46, he's about 30 years old when he comes before Pharaoh. And his life has changed. His position, his situation has changed. Each step fashioned Joseph's character. Some of his steps were not only physically painful, emotionally painful, they were life-threatening. But they're recorded because that's what Joseph's life was. Can you imagine Joseph saying, No, I'm not a slave. No, I'm not a prisoner. He was in prison for several years. His situation, his position are reality. He can't ignore them, but equally, he can't ignore his identity or his destiny. The time came that his brothers came to bow to him, as his dream foretold. He said, I'm Joseph. I'm your brother. Meaning, I'm the son of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There came a time that he took off his mask. It says that he made himself appear strange to them earlier. But now he takes the mask off and says, I am Joseph. I am your brother. This is my identity. This is my destiny. In chapter 41 of Genesis still, in verse 51 and 52, we read that Joseph, after he was given all the accolades by Pharaoh, they had two children, Ephraim and Manasseh. And these children were raised with him, of course, in the kingdom. When Joseph brought his brothers here, Pharaoh said, Tell them to leave everything because the best of the land is there for him. What is Joseph's situation at this point? What is his situation? What is his position? He is ruler over the empire. Do you think that his sons led a comfortable life? Well, if his brothers had the best of Egypt, don't you think his children did also? In chapter 50, still in Exodus, chapter 50, verse 23, at the end of the book, we read, And Joseph said unto his brother, Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation, the children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up on Joseph's knees. Joseph saw his children's children, the third generation. If Joseph's brothers had the best of Egypt, don't you think Joseph's children did, and his grandchildren? Don't you think that at least some of them lived, because as long as he was alive, he lived as a king. Don't you think at least some of them lived like royalty? But in the very next chapter, in Exodus chapter 1, verse 8, we read, "Now there rose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph." Not only were Joseph's brothers and their families enslaved, so were Joseph's descendants. Perhaps some of the grandchildren that Joseph had seen and held on his lap, grandchildren who had tasted the royal life, were now slaves. Could anybody say this was not reality? If we deny this slavery as reality, we deny the prophecy that the Almighty himself spoke to Abraham, that we would be strangers in a land that was not ours, that we would serve them, that we'd be afflicted by them. This was reality. But it's not all of reality. It is not our identity. It is not our final destiny. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul talks about some of the trials he's gone through. We're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and read verse 23 through 27. "Are they ministers of Messiah? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils of the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils of the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness." Paul had a lot of rough situations. He was beaten with 40 stripes 5 times. He was beaten with rods. He was stoned. He was shipwrecked. He said he was in perils of robbers, in perils of his own countrymen, in perils of the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness. He had it rough. Did he deny these situations? Did he deny his history, his trials? No, he published them. Did he say, "Let's not mention them because bad things don't happen to God's servants"? Trials come to everybody. Yet Paul repeatedly mentioned our reality in Messiah and our eternal destiny, because both your situation and position and your identity and your destiny are part of reality. Our perception of reality affects how difficult the situations are for us. At Purim, we wear a mask. Sometimes we wear a mask denying our identity for years. At Purim, others can usually see through the mask we wear. And we understand that. They know our identity in spite of our costume. But sometimes we don't realize that people see through our masks throughout the year. God can always see through our mask. He knows our situation. He knows our identity. He knows to acknowledge our reality. He made the reality, and we need to acknowledge the reality, our situations, our identity. It's time for us to take our masks off and accept it. Accept our current situation and accept our identity and our eternal destiny that God gives us. Blessed be his name, who gives us the Feast of Purim.